Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And in this how-to video, we're going to be discussing if you're an LP, how do you protect yourself as a limited partner in an investment in multifamily? And how do you know that investment is right for you? A lot of the talk has been on general partners, operators. I want to bring the discussion to those who fund these deals, the limited partners. Now, if you're out there and you're working a job, you're a high-level executive, you may not have time to invest in multifamily, but you still want to be part of real estate. And investing passively is an amazing way to do that. But in this lesson, I want to discuss certain things that you need to be careful of when you're investing passively. Now, the first thing, first and foremost, is multifamily the right vehicle for you? Now, that may be crazy coming from somebody who loves multifamily, who's created one of the premier multifamily education companies. I think that's out there, the Jake and Gino community. Our students have closed over 80,000 units. They've raised almost $500 million in capital. But sometimes multifamily may not be right for the individual. Go back and really stop and think about what your goals are with money. Also, I would take a deep dive into the psychology of your money, the relationship you have with money. If you're a high flyer, you love transactions, you love moving money, multifamily may not be the way for you. It can actually be pretty boring sometimes. Your money is going to be illiquid for a certain period of time. A couple of years ago, you may be able to get your money back 18 months, 24 months. Now, as the market cycle has changed, those time horizons have gotten a lot longer. So understand, it may not be the right vehicle for you. For me, it was. I wanted to create legacy wealth. I wanted to learn how to invest in a basic human need. I wanted to invest in an asset that had cycle resiliency. As the market's slowing down, the economy's slowing down, it's still a basic human need. It's food, clothing, and apartments. I understood all these benefits, but there are certain drawbacks at times. And understand those drawbacks. Does it fit your persona? Does it fit what you're trying to accomplish with your goals? First and foremost. And if it does, wow, let's start learning how to understand how to invest as a limited partner, but with the mindset of you investing in this deal actively. Gino@jakeandgino.com. Email me. I want to send you our Real Borrow Profits book. It talks about the buy right, the finance right, and the manage right. That's the three-step framework, whether you're investing passively or actively, on how to become, I think, much more intelligent in this business. You're trying to really assess your downside risk. And by following those three pillars, it's going to help you whether you're actively investing in these deals or passively. So the first thing, when you're looking at it as that passive investor, it's all about the jockey, not only the horse. The horse is the deal. That's what you're looking at. When you're looking as an LP, a lot of people, they're romanticized about the IRR and the cash on cash return, but they forget about the sponsor or the GP or the jockey who's riding that horse. Focus on the general partner and their team. It's really important. And this is what I think is, to me, is a real benefit to investing in multifamily, investing in real estate, as opposed to investing in the stock market. If you want to get really granular about the team that's running that deal, you can literally get on a plane, fly out to the deal, walk around the deal. As they're doing property tours, talk to the property management team. You can also look at other deals that the general partnership has done. You can Google them. You can really take a deep dive in what their track record looks like. It's pretty hard to do that with a publicly traded company. The information's out there. But do you know day-to-day of what Apple's doing? Do you know what's going on in China with their operations? Do you know what's going on overseas? Not really. But if you want to get behind the scenes of an operator, you can actually do that in this business. You just have to know what you're looking for. You have to know what questions to ask. You have to look at this general partner, this team. Are they operators? Have they operated deals? Do they have a track record? Now, past performance and future performance, whatever nonsense they say, I agree with that. But it's really telling when you speak to a team and you understand that they've been in business for a while. You want to understand their communications. Really, really important. You want to understand when they distribute money. how they distribute money. You want to talk to this team and say, when you had some hardships, how did you follow up? How did you proceed? How did you take action for that? It's really, really important. Communication, track record, focusing on what they've done in the past. And one other thing, you can secret shop and call up one of their properties that they own and pretend you are a tenant, you're a resident, looking to rent one of their units. See what their processes look like. It's all about the manager, right? Ask about their other deals. How are their other deals performing? Can I have some information on those deals as well? Understanding that team is really the foundation. The deal is important, truly important. But if that jockey or the general partnership cannot drive that deal and can explain to you what the business plan is, then it's all for naught. Now, the next part for you as a limited partner, understanding what markets you want to get in and understanding what your business plan is. Are you looking to invest in deals that provide cash flow monthly, or and you're looking to retire off that money? Or are you looking for longer term deals that are going to provide that capital appreciation? Or do you want a mixture of both of those? Now, if you're younger, obviously, you're not really looking for cash flow unless you're trying to quit your job. But if you're investing, you're looking for those capital appreciation hits, where that's where you truly make money in real estate. It's not just the transactions, but it's the equity that's created. The cash flow is great because the cash flow pays the bills, puts money in your pocket every month, but that appreciation is important. So understanding, once again, going back up to those goals on that very first thing, what are you looking for? And that will help you decide what market you're looking for. Markets that have higher cap rates, they're going to have a little bit more cash flow because prices are lower. You have a higher cap rate, lower prices. Lower prices mean higher yield. It could also mean higher risk. So when you're looking at these deals, understand what it is. We're in the market of Knoxville. Knoxville is around 5.5 to 6 caps. So there is a blend, if you buy these properties properly, of cash flow and appreciation. But if you're out in California and you're living in California, you know what I mean. Very little cash flow, but if you're investing for the longer term and for capital appreciation, you're going to do well in that market. So understanding that is important. Understanding the general partner or the operator's team is also an important aspect of it. I should have mentioned this sooner, but who are their accountants? Have a conversation with their CPAs. Who are their lenders? Who are they working with as lenders? Who are their attorneys or syndication attorneys? You should be looking up all of these team members that they have. See what their experience is. See if they've worked with these people and what their track records are. And also, one of the questions that we've been getting over the last couple of years with our students and when they're raising money and the comfort level of limited partners, are they what we call in multifamily vertically integrated? Are they managing the property themselves? That this is what Jake and I do on our three syndications. We are property managing our own properties and asset managing. Now, as a limited partner, understand that asset management is different than property management. There are two different functions. So if you're hiring out third-party property management as the operator, limited partners should know there may be some concern. If they don't pick the right property management company, the property management company is the driver of that asset. And understanding that as an LP and understanding that, hey, I should talk to this property management company. I should see what other assets that property management company is managing and how well they're doing with those assets may be an indication of how well they're going to do with the asset that you buy. So understanding all of the team members is really important. Now, the next question, as a limited partner, as you're reading through the private placement memorandum, what are the splits? What are the hurdle rates? What are all of the fees associated with this deal? And this is a simple conversation you can have. Typically, a sponsor, an operator will have a webinar outlining all of these. But you want to know, is it a 70-30 split where the limited partners have 70% of the deal? The general partnership has 30%. Is it 80-20? Is there what we call a hurdle rate where the limited partners are getting a certain percentage of the cash flow delivered to them before the general partnership gets anything else? What does that look like? What is the waterfall as far as when the property gets sold? If it gets sold, how are profits being distributed? And what are the fees? Are there acquisition fees? Are there asset management fees? Are there construction management fees? Are there refinance fees? Are there property disposition fees? And on and on. Having a clear understanding of that on the front end will make you understand if this deal is right for you. If these operators are just feeding the property to death and margins are slim, really, really, important for you to understand that on the front end. Do your goals align with the general partnership? Are they just out there trying to get a deal and understanding that the cash flow may be slim for them and they're making that money on the fees? Or are they in alignment with you where they're going to hold this asset, run this asset, try to really reposition it? And then what do they do on the back end? Are they going to refinance it or selling it? Understanding that as a limited partner is very, very important. And that's what brings me to this next point. What's the exit strategy? Have a clear understanding of what their exit strategy or strategies look like, because the market can change. 2 years ago, people were projecting 24 to 36 months holds. Now, all of a sudden, it's gone from 36 to possibly 5 years. It's a function of interest rates and the market itself. We didn't foresee this a couple of years ago. So having the flexibility and the understanding is what's really important. And once again, if we go back to that first point that I made, limited partners need to know that it can be a very illiquid asset. You may have your money tied up in the next 3, 4, 5 years. Whereas if you're in the stock market, the benefit of that is a push of a button and you're out and you have access to your capital. Huge difference. Now, this last one. Provisions for capital calls. We've been seeing that go on a lot and often in this last 12 to 24 months. That's the reality. You have to be comfortable as a limited partner to understand that if that deal is not working properly, the operators may have to call for additional capital to be placed. And now, if you're not comfortable doing that, you're part of that deal, you're going to get diminished on that deal. So there's a complete understanding that you may lose money on the deal, even if the deal doesn't go into foreclosure. You may get what they call diluted. So understanding that and having that question up front, asking the general partnership, the team, to say, what happens if we have capital calls? Am I able to put more money in? And if I don't put that money in, what happens to my shares? Now, whatever the response is, you need to be comfortable with that response. Sometimes throwing good money after bad can be a problem. But if you have confidence in this team and they've done it before and they just need that little extra capital to get them over the finish line, that may make a good decision for you to do that. Now, these are just some of the tips and things that I've tried to put together in this short lesson about becoming a limited partner. If you understand the business and you look at it from the lens of doing it actively and you do a lot of your due diligence and your homework on the front end, you're going to really reduce the risk. There's always risk in multifamily, but if you've gone through a lot of these steps that I've laid out, man, it is a huge opportunity to invest in an amazing asset. Now, if you want to learn more how to work with the Jake and Gino community, we've created a program to teach limited partners how to invest. And if you want to join our community and become a limited partner, and that's what your focus is, whereas one day you started out as a limited partner and you may graduate to a general partner, or if you want to continue to invest passively and have access to the Jake and Gino community's deals, just email me, gino@jakeandgino.com. Say, hey, Gino, I want more information. Let me know how I can become a really strong limited partner. Once again, I just want to thank you guys for spending some time with me on this important topic. It's all about getting the education up front, taking massive action, and then allowing a community like Jake and Gino to help you implement that knowledge. Thanks, everyone, and I will see you on next week's How To.